Chapter 26. Hopefully some of you took time to count the cost. Whether it be gain or loss. Over this last 24 hours, you considered the cost. I don't think people consider marriage. I don't think they consider the cost of the financial hardship. But they never consider the cost if they marry wrong. These people consider the cost of having children. They consider the price of having children. They never consider the cost of raising those children wrong. We see in Proverbs 26, the fool has returned to his folly. How does he do that? As the dog returneth to his vomit. That returneth their ETH is a continuance, is continual. Over and over and over and over and over and over again. The dog returneth to its vomit. So the fool returneth to his folly. He returned yesterday. He'll return today. And he'll return again tomorrow. I've talked about mistakes that fools continue to make. Mistakes that fools make. Returning to folly. We talked yesterday about the fool thinks that prosperity will somehow make them better. I want to deal with this tonight. A fool will think that doing good will make them better. Good works will make them better.
It's good.
Doing good to people will somehow make them better. And we'll look at the scriptures to verify what we're saying, to justify the words that I've said. And I'll start in Proverbs chapter 8. The Bible challenges all of us, from the simple to the fool. And the Bible says this, in verse 5, O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be of an understanding heart. The heart cannot be made better unless there's a spiritual understanding. We need the understanding of God for the heart to be better. So he says, fools, be ye of an understanding heart. And then he says, hear, for I will speak of excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. Why, fool? Because the fool is doing wrong things. He's returning to his folly. So the Lord says, I will speak of excellent things. The opening of my lips shall be right things. When your life is wrong, the only thing that will make it right are the words of the excellent speech of our Lord and Savior. When you do wrong, the only thing that will return you from that wrong are the words of our Lord. He will speak excellent things. The opening of his lips will speak those things right to us. Chapter 9 of the Proverbs and verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live. And then he seconds out with, and go in the way of understanding. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. There is a way of understanding. There is a way that God wants us to proceed in And it's the way of understanding.
Right.
Spiritual understanding. Things that are spiritually discerned. To do that, he said, we must what? Forsake the foolish and live. Ye that were dead in trespasses and sins, he hath quickened. He's made to live. He's brought that which was dead unto life. He's saying the fool is spiritually dead. Forsake the foolish, those that act the part of the fool, those that partake of the fool, those that say things foolishly and do things foolishly. Forsake them and live. Get understanding. Get knowledge, he said, but then in knowledge, get understanding. Know the Lord. Understand the Lord. He's not far off. He's not vague. He's not distant. But understand him. Thirdly, in chapter 14 of the Proverbs, in verse 7, this is for all of us. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way. And I want you to listen to this. But the folly of fools is deceit. Why does the fool return to his folly? Because he's deceived. The greatest deceit ever given to man is in Genesis 3. And when Satan says, thou hast partaken of the tree in the midst of the garden, he made this statement, thou shalt not surely die. The greatest deceit offered is you'll not die. You will live forever. There won't be a reckoning. There won't be a judgment. You live your life how you want to live it. And the end, if you will, for the betterment of religion, God's going to sort everything out in the end. Which in itself is a true statement. But God's going to sort it out based on one thing. He that hath the Son hath life.
Right.
He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. The folly of fools is deceit. The fool is following his own way, his own deceits, the lies he's been told. Many of us in this room had a profession of faith at some point because somebody either cajoled us, convinced us, maybe the devil convinced us, maybe our own flesh convinced us. I need to go through these motions. I need to do this because people want me to do it. I want to feel better about myself. Or maybe it's a ticket out of hell. But yet it was deceitful. There was no repentance. It was as shallow as the kiddie pool. When the sun came out, that little green herb that sprung up withered and it died because there was no good soil. The folly of fools is deceit. Fools make a mock at sin. But among the righteous there is favor. What is a mockery? It's to take that which is true and to scoff or to mock by resembling the truth you're looking at. So a fool looks at sin and he resembles that sin. He's mocking that sin. Can you, for lack of a better word, he's showing favor to that sin. He's letting that sin dictate his foolishness. He's making a mock at sin. Sin has dominion over him. Sin has control over the fool. He cannot escape the bondage of sin. Why? Because his folly is deceit. The fool has convinced himself he's right. The fool has told himself, he's right. My way is right. And when truth comes, he makes a mocking sin. But among the righteous, there is favor. Why the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool mocks sin because there's no favor with God. And because there's no favor with God, therefore he has to justify his being before God. And to do that, he makes a mock of sin. In ministry now, some over 12 years, we're in a 13th year full-time in ministry. I've dealt with dozens of people who will say this, is such and such a sin? Is this a sin? Then I've dealt with dozens of people who will say this, well, that's not a sin. Or, I know what you preached, that's not a sin. A lady told me one time, she said, cigarette smoking is not a sin. My own response, to him that knoweth to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And fools make a mock at sin. I've heard preachers preach things that I necessarily wouldn't get on board as far as standards of separation, the standards of conduct, some things that maybe I didn't feel like I needed to live, but I never made a mockery of it. I never disputed it. I never made light of the preaching. Lest that man understand something I don't understand from the scriptures, I've never made light of those things. But so many people will cast it in the preacher's teeth. They'll cast it in his face. Why? Because they're making a mock at sin. Because their own sin has consumed them. And therefore their way is right and everybody else is wrong. I've had people say, this is stupid. That's the exact word that man used. This is stupid what this church does. Preaching in Blaine, Pennsylvania several years ago, I said this many, many times, but after Sunday night service, it got back to the pastor. A man said, that man's preaching heresy, speaking of me. All I did was open the book of Leviticus in those divers ordinances, and one by one I read about 20 verses in divers ordinances, expounded upon them, and he said, that man's preaching heresy. That tells me that's a fool in his own conceit. Spiritually, he's blind. I'll tell you why some of you can't take the preacher's word for things, because you're deceived. You don't want to believe the preacher because you're deceived. You think he's a blooming idiot because you're deceived. The evangelist comes and he's an idiot because you're... Could it be possible that somebody that does not study the Bible, does not have a relationship with God, does not read the scriptures, does not give themselves to prayer, does not give themselves to fasting, is there a possibility that they're right and the man of God is wrong? That's not a rhetorical question, that's a real question. I've learned people that confront the preacher are usually people who don't know where their Bible is. They don't have a prayer closet. They don't have a time of fasting. They don't do anything to separate themselves unto Jesus Christ. They spend no time alone with God. They spend no time seeking the things of God. But then the preacher said the slightest thing they disagree with, and they're quick to devour him. Why? Because they're fools in their own deceit. I don't believe that. Well, one day you may. And I pray it's not too late. I'm not above correction. I'm not above reproof.
Right.
I'm not above somebody saying, look, McVeigh, that's wrong. But when it's your opinion, that's foolish.
Sure.
When it's your ideal, that's foolish. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ and you walk with God and God reveals the inward things of God through the scriptures to you, then you have every right in the world to approach the man of God if he preaches something that you disagree with and is unsound. Then you have every right to come in a spirit of meekness. But what you do not have the right to do is get in your car or sit around your table or get alone with your spouse or alone with your friends or alone with your neighbors and badmouth the man of God for what he's preaching when you yourself have no spiritual life.
It's good.
A fool in his own deceit. The folly of the fool is deceit. What's destroying him? A lie. I'm okay. I'm fine just like I am. I'm okay right where I'm at. I don't need anything else. The greatest lie. Proverbs 24 and verse 7. The Bible says this wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. That gate there is that seat of government, that seat of authority. You see, wisdom's too high for a fool. See what a fool does? A fool slanders with his mouth. He doesn't have the wisdom it takes to properly instruct or correct. So he slanders. The fool's mouth is a slanderous mouth. We'll learn that a little bit later on. Because he doesn't have the words. Because there's no knowledge or wisdom. It's too high for a fool. You know what name calling is? Just showing your level of intelligence. That's all name calling is. I've called names. You know why? Because I don't have the intelligence to refute what's being said. So slander is the easiest way for a fool or someone that's acting foolish. It's the easiest way out. Because wisdom's too high for a fool. When they're in the gate, with that seat of authority, they can't speak because they're foolish. I hope it's not too high for us.
Right.
Proverbs 26 and verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There is more hope of a fool than of him. When my way is my conceit, my wisdom is my conceit. Listen, I am established in me. I have all this perceived wisdom in me, in my intellect. Yet without faith. When your intellect overrides faith, you're a fool. When your thinking overrides faith, you're a fool. When you think your brain is smarter than God, you're a fool. That's your own conceit. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. There is a hope. There's a substance there. It's the evidence of things not seen. There's an evidence there. But you can't explain faith without faith. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God and took God at his word. How many people can take God at his word without trying to process it in their own thinking, trying to form their own thoughts, and come up with their own conceits? Right. Their own approach to God. I had a young lady one time who was speaking to her father and I. Typical teenager, very stereotypical teenager. Is this clean, dirty, stinky? Did I drink this?
Clean.
Good, thank you. She said, I hear these people testify about how they were going down the road and they got delayed and, you know, they had to stop because the baby threw up and their shoe wasn't tight. You know, I don't know what else she said. They get delayed, and then they go down the road, and if they had been a minute earlier, there would have been a horrific car accident. There were five cars and blood and guts there. She goes, I just don't believe that. I said, well, you better believe it. Within a year, her best friend was killed in a car accident. And I want to say, do you believe it now? No, that's all luck. That's all timing. That's all just flipping the coin. No, you just don't have faith. You just don't believe God. Oh, the physics are impossible. No, you just don't have faith. You know, there's people that don't believe in healing. Scripturally, because they're faithless.
Right.
There are people that don't believe there's a pot of oil that never ran out. They want to explain it. They want to try to figure it out.
They explain God.
There are people that do not believe in the burning bush. They say, well, that's really not a burning bush. There's a bush that grows in Sinai, and it grows red flowers in the spring by the time Israel was there. And it really wasn't on fire. Listen, the Bible said it was a bush that burned and was not consumed. Why would God say it was not consumed unless it was on fire?
Right.
Well, you know, Jonah couldn't have been swallowed by a whale because whales don't eat humans. And you know, I've heard people discuss these things. Jesus said this as Jonah was where? 3 days and three nights. Somebody help me. Where was he? In the whale's belly. 3 days and three nights where? In the whale's belly. One guy I heard preach. He said a great white shark came and ate Jonah. No, God said a whale's belly. You know what he said in the book of Jonah? A great fish came and swallowed.
That's right.
They go, do you know whales are mammals? You can get blown out for me if you want to. I said it here before, I'll say it again. A whale's a fish because the Bible said a whale's a fish.
That's right.
That's right.
Amen and amen. Great fish swallowed Jonah. Jesus said Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights where? In the whale's belly. You know why the skeptic doesn't believe that? Because he's his own deceit. Right. His intellect is higher than God's. His thinking is higher than God's. Old Charles Darwin took his little voyage around the Cape and came up there to the Galapagos Islands. And he based his theories of evolution on a simple sea turtle, a simple bird. Some, he said, had developed beaks to crack open oysters. Some had long beaks where they could pound in the sand and pull little sand crabs out. Others had short, stubby beaks where they could gather certain kinds of fish. And he said, they just developed over time, depending on where they live. They evolved to where they are today. And he wrote his entire book. And the entire religious world embraced Darwin as a genius and as a brilliant man. Even scientists have disproved him today and said Darwin was so far off. Yet they follow the initial teachings of Darwin. And religionists follow the teachings of Darwin. They don't believe that God could have made three or four turds that looked the same, but had different beaks and different feet and different feathers, because he's the creator of all the universe. And he does as he will with the birds of the sky.
Amen.
They're fools in their own deceit.
Yes, sir.
They're smarter than God. Mm-hmm. They're smarter than the Bible. You just throw this out there. Preach told me this the other day. I liked it. As I find this crowd, they say, well, we're going to practice faith healing. We don't go to doctors. Jesus said, they that are sick are in need of what? Physician.
Right.
Amen and amen. Oh, we're going to pray. You know, they'll teach you. I grew up in a Christian school. If you went to a doctor, they'd put you out of their church. Children died in those homes. Raven Craig died at 3 years old because it's a kidney disease that could have been curable. They said, no, we're going to pray over it. They that are sick are in need of a physician. The Bible tells us that. And I believe the Bible. I sure do. their own deceit. I'm smarter than God. I know more than God. Let me just tighten that down just a little bit. I know how to dress regardless of what God tells me. I know what words I can say regardless of what God tells me. I know what I can get involved in regardless of what God tells me. I had a man names the name of Christ. I don't believe for a minute he's saved. A man that names the name of Christ, he told me. He said, God wouldn't have made marijuana, man. He wouldn't have made it for us to smoke if he didn't want us to smoke it. That's what you sound like a Jamaican. That's what they say too. That's what the Rastafarians with poop in their hair say. The herb of the earth, man. Got to smoke the herb, man. God gave it to us to smoke. And their hair has dung in it. They got dreadlocks plastered all over their body. They haven't bathed in weeks. Can I just say this? I'm going to move on. They're also wrapped up in all this organic movement too. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Rastafarian started some of the organic movement. The herb of the earth, man. God gave it to us to help us, man. Their life expectancy is in the 40s. Destroying their bodies.
Yes, sir.
But in their own deceit, they deny the very existence of a holy God.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 12 and 23 was a statement of Proverbs. I said they think that doing good will make their heart better.
Right.
A prudent man concealeth knowledge. From Proverbs 12, 23. But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Verse 16 to chapter 13. Every prudent man dealeth with knowledge. So a prudent man concealeth knowledge. A prudent man dealeth with knowledge. The heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. But a fool layeth open his folly. What does that mean, lay it open? It means to cut it open, to fillet it, to spread it out where everybody can see his folly except for him. I wish that people honestly sometimes say, preacher, what do you think? I just wish they would. What do people really think about me? What do people really see in me? What do people think I am? Your foolishness is laid open in its folly for the world to see. There's just one person that can't see it.
That's right.
The fool. One of the great advantages to have the Spirit of God on the inside is that when you do foolishly, God will lay it open for you to see.
Sir.
You listening? God will lay it open for you to see. I don't know one saved person who will not testify and say, what a fool I've been. But I don't hear any lost people saying that. Why? Because the Spirit of God will lay you open and let you see what you are. You know what the problem with the fool is? His folly's laid open and everybody can see it except the fool. It's a general consensus. And then they get their feelings hurt. They get all bitter and get their feelings hurt because somebody thinks ill of them. But to be honest, I don't think ill of people. I just tell the truth a lot of times because I'm a preacher. I'm obligated to preach the truth. And the word of truth will cut you open sometimes. It will lay open your folly because God wants you to see what's on the inside. God wants you to see your folly. He wants you to see what's destroying you. He wants to see what's keeping you from salvation. He wants you to see what's keeping you from the light. He wants you to see the inside of who you are. Hey, he doesn't need you to see the outside. He needs you to see the inside. To do that, he has to lay your folly open. It hurts.
But I promise you it'll be worth it.
That's right.
If he does. Proverbs 17 and verse 16. Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom? Seeing he hath no heart to it. There's a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom. Why? He has no heart to it. Does not want wisdom. Has chosen foolishness over wisdom. Has chosen his own way over God's way. He made that conscious choice. I want what I want, regardless of what God wants for me. Over the years, I don't know how many people we've dealt with who've come to us and said, such and such, such and such, such, what do you think about that? And we've had to tell people that's a terrible decision. My wife and I were on the phone one time, on speakerphone together, with a young lady who told us, she said, I'm thinking about leaving home, marrying so-and-so. I just feel like we got to get out of here. We got to do something. My wife and I are begging, pleading, begging. If you do it, it'll be the biggest mistake of your life. We said, there'll be consequences. You'll pay the price. Just 3 months ago, we saw her. We saw my wife and I sure wish we hadn't done it that way. I sure wish we had waited. But you know what happens is you can't tell a fool anything. Because their way is better. Their way is wiser. They lose friends. They lose jobs. They lose acquaintances. They'll lose their family doing it their way. People come for marriage advice. They're having trouble in their marriage. Over the years, my tendency has just been to tell them, well, go home and consider your own ways because you're probably the problem. There's only two people in a marriage, and I promise you, both of them are probably wrong. So why don't you go resolve your problem first? Then we'll worry about the beam in your spouse's eye.
That's good.
You know what happens? They leave shaking their head. It's all him, it's all him, it's all her, it's all her. How silly when you're one flesh. How silly when you're one flesh.
Right.
The problem is our problem. But the fool's way is right. It's a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it. Our next verse. I tried to go in order, but then I got jumbled up and found more verses and turned around.
Good.
Proverbs 15, verse 7. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doeth not so. Proverbs 19 and 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. Is your way perverted? Does your heart fret against the Lord? Are you glad to receive the things of the Lord with a clean heart? Is your way perverse? Or can you gladly say, Lord, you're right. I need to change. Like many in here, I grew up poor. I grew up at poverty level. So when I turned 18 and joined the military, you know how I lived? I lived at the poverty level. Because I didn't know any other way. I lived like a redneck. Because I didn't know any other way.
And the redneck lifestyle is not a lifestyle that a man needs to live, because there's nothing good about a redneck lifestyle, I don't care who brags about it. Because a redneck needs to keep me clean cut, he needs to shave, he needs to cut his hair, he needs to wash his clothes, he needs to cover his tattoos, and he needs to get his flannel shirts washed once in a while. Amen and amen. We were back in the Larry the Cable Guy days. We ripped the sleeves off our flannel shirts and then did curls in the gym to show our guns off. Boy, that's cool, isn't it?
You're done.
I remember going to the store one time with a tank top. They stopped me at the door. But I wasn't a small fella. And they were scared to death. Like, sir, we have a policy about tank tops. Do you mind putting a shirt on? I said, I don't have any other shirt. They said, well, would you mind leaving? I said, I'll never come back to this place again. Why? You know, just reading the riot act. But you know, their rules were their rules.
Right.
I was the fool that didn't have a decent shirt. I was the fool that was raised in the house of God. I was the fool that was told different. I was the fool that my mother tried to raise right. And I'm going there violating their code of conduct.
Sir.
But it's their fault.
It's amazing.
As a restaurant, one time they had a collar policy for men. You had to have a collar. They didn't care about women, but you had a collar on your shirt. Polo shirt, button-up shirt. Man came in there, he had a t-shirt on. They said, you can't come in here. He took a wad of cash out of his pocket, threw it in the maitre d's face, cursed, and stormed out of the restaurant. What the maitre d did? Oh. Put it in their pocket. It's their policy. It's their rules. These are God's rules. These are God's way. We're wrong 100% of the time we violate God's rules. We're wrong. The laws of the state of North Carolina are North Carolina's laws. If you don't like them, leave. The laws of Pennsylvania are Pennsylvania's laws. If I don't like them, I'll leave. It's the law. So it is with God. It's God's law. It's God's way. The problem is we have aught with God. We just want to blame everybody else because we have aught with God.
Hi.
Proverbs 28, 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. That old deceitful lying heart of yours, this old deceitful lying heart of mine, if I trust my heart, I'll die and I'll go to hell. But I'm not trusting my heart. I believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ. I'm trusting him as my eternal hope, my eternal savior. I can't trust my heart.
Right.
All these camp meetings, especially down south here, have revolved into just emotional slime pits. I've heard people come out of them saying, man, I just felt God. I felt the power of God. I felt the presence of God. I felt. But we worship in spirit and in truth. It's not just in spirit, there must be truth. I just feel like I'm saved. I feel like I'm a Christian. I feel like God loves me. I feel like I have the witness of the Spirit, but where's the truth of it? You see, a fool trusteth his own heart. He said, my heart is telling me. My heart is showing me. We have a young lady at church, not to criticize her. I've said this to her face. She talks about these young men. She goes, you know, he seems like he has such a good heart. And I've said to her personally, I said, it's not his heart you're looking at. He may have good character. He may have a good appearance. He may have a good shell, a good show he puts on, but I promise you one thing, he doesn't have a good heart.
That's right.
He has a deceitful heart, is desperately wicked above all else, and a fool is trusting that. Imagine trusting your own heart for salvation. Yeah. Our third point, I will go on tonight, not too much further. They not only think prosperity will make them better, they think that doing good will make them better, but they think their wisdom is better.
Right.
I know more than God. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It kind of narrows us down a little bit. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning, the beginning, it's the beginning. It just starts a journey of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody's going to instruct me. Nobody's going to teach me. I learned on the mean streets. I learned in the redneck swamps. I learned from my pappy. I learned from granddaddy. I learned from grandma. My brother taught me. And I've heard people all the reasons under the sun, but daddy might be wrong, and mommy might be wrong, and papa might be wrong, and Mimi might be wrong, and great grandma might be wrong, and brother might be wrong, and sister might be wrong, but God is always right.
That's right.
Fools despise wisdom and instruction. In verse 22, he said, fools hate knowledge. God's knowledge. They hate knowledge. When we used to go to Dark Park, St. Agnes Catholic Church, downtown city of Baltimore, across from the Shop Tower. The rats down there bigger than Brother Zach's dog. I lied, I didn't mean to lie. Amber and Gracie's dog, amen. Sorry, Brother Zach.
Right, thank you.
There are rats down there bigger than that dog. And there were people in tents in that dark park. And they had Tent City built, and for years we ministered to their needs. Physically, spiritually, would feed them, clothe them, preach to them, whatever we try to do to help them in that park. But in the daylight hours, 7 to 8 in the summer, you couldn't hardly find a soul. So we started going later and later into Baltimore in the summer hours. Because as soon as the twilight fell, three things came out of the dark. People, bugs, and rats. Because I learned they all love darkness just the same. Right. They coexisted together in a dark, dark world.
Sir.
Men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Fools hate knowledge. I've had homeless people argue with me, and I'm not trying to be some arrogant, cocky person. I've had them argue with me over Scripture. I've had dope heads argue with me over Scripture. And I'm not trying to be arrogant or cocky, but I'd sit there and I'd be astonished as a man is sitting there in a cold sweat, shaking, sweat pouring off of his head, his eyes like headlights, his teeth chattering on a 95-degree August day, and he's telling me how much he loves God and how much he loves the Scripture and how much he knows the Bible. And he goes, I'll tell you what I think about the Bible. And finally, Brother Herbert said, it doesn't matter what you think about the Bible, son. Look at the mess your life is in. Look at how you ruined your life. Look at what you've done. That man ran to get away. I'll tell you. But as soon as knowledge came to him, he fled because he hates knowledge. I'll tell you what the Bible says. I'll tell you I've been sitting meals, places before the Sammy Alvin. Some young hotshot preacher sits there with us. And Brother Allen will say something edifying. And I've watched him interrupt Brother Allen. A man been preaching 60 years. And interrupt and start to say, yeah, you know, I studied that, Brother Allen. And they'll go on for 15 minutes about what they read in the scriptures and what they saw in the scriptures and how they've been saved for 3 years and they've been preaching for a year and a half and they're in Bible college and they'll go on for 15 minutes and I want to grab a hold of them and go, hey, shut up! You're revealing what you really are, you little punk. But you know how to do that in 2019 because people were so fragile and sensitive and full of wimpiness. But I want to do that because I wish somebody had done that to me many times.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Men of God speaking about the things of God, about the things of life, and me trying to show how smart I am, and end up showing up absolutely just my folly laid open in foolishness. I wasn't a fool, but I was so foolish. And I mean, everybody could see that I was just foolish. I was a big mouth idiot. And man, I'd be so ashamed later on. Go, why did I keep my mouth shut? Why did I keep my mouth shut? Now I see these young men making the same mistake. And I want to tell them, everybody can see what you are, son. But if he's God's man, he'll learn. He'll learn to shut his mouth. God has a way of teaching us. The way of a fool is right. You ever see these partial scripture signs? You know, they have, you know, part of a scripture and then dot, 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 and they hang it on their mailbox or in their yard. We've probably seen more in Pennsylvania because of the Mennonite influence. Boy, that'd be a good one there. The way of the fool is right, dot, 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 dot. Boy, people would love that, wouldn't they? I'm off the hook! Yeah! God's wrong! I'm right! Woo! it goes on and says, in his own eyes.
Right.
Listen to the preacher, but he that hearkeneth unto the counsel is wise. What does that mean? I listened to and I heeded counsel. Because the way of a fool is right. In his own eyes. I enjoy cooking. I do. You know why? I like to eat. I like to eat good food. My wife and I try to eat the best quality food as cheap as we can. Because we enjoy good food. So we eat good food, but to do that, I have to prepare good food. So I've learned over the years, I've talked to people, I've listened to people, I've watched people. And I know how to make some pretty decent things. But if a guy owned a 3-star Michelin-starred restaurant came to my house and said, could I show you a couple things? No, this is my kitchen. Well, I can help you make it better. No, this is my kitchen. Well, I can help you turn that steak in. No, this is my mom's recipe. Well, my mom's recipe, put a cast iron pan and burn it. That's my mom's recipe. Well done, and then cook it a little bit, about 10 minutes more, and then put steak sauce on so you can gag it down. Now, I think I'll just do it my way. Would you all say I was being foolish? Would that be foolish? Or what if I sat and said, okay, you probably know more than me. What's it going to take for me to do that? First of all, I'm going to have to humble myself. I'm going to have to loose myself of my pride that my steak is better than every steakhouse in Chambersburg. Which, and my honey, is that true? Don't puff me up. Is that true? My steak is better than any steakhouse in Chambersburg, isn't it? But we haven't eaten every steakhouse in the world yet. So it may not be the best in the world. But I think it is. But I haven't eaten the best in the world yet. So until I make the best steak in the world, and it's been certified, and men who know food and know cooking call me and say, Jim, that's the best steak in the world. You're number one. Congratulations. You know what I need to do? I need to start hearkening to counsel. That means I'm going to listen to it, and I'm going to act on that counsel. But a fool can't do that. They can't. So I seek counsel from four or five of the best chefs in the world who, because of my tremendous steak, are going to contact me because they're going to care. A backyard cook, and they're going to care enough to call me. No, I'm going to come in contact with the people I live with every day. And I'm going to learn from them everything I can learn. And I'm going to seek counsel from them. And I'm going to seek wisdom from them. And I'm going to learn both mistakes and good things that they do to help me. Unless I'm a fool. And then I'm going to say, my way is the best way. My way is the right way. My way is the only way. I had somebody argue with me the other day. It was just awkward. They were arguing over a date. You ask my wife, don't argue over a date. I can't remember names. I can't remember people. But I can remember dates. I can remember numbers. It's a weird thing. Began to argue with me over a date, and I got smug. I said, I finally just said, no, this is the date. No, I don't think that's the date. I'm like, yeah, okay, well. I really don't think that's it. Blah, 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 blah. And her husband's going, well, I think I said, and I'm just sitting there, smug, cocky, stupid. I'm going, yeah, okay, whatever. Well. Finally, they both concede. I think he's right. I'm like, yeah, I know. You know the difference between them and a fool? When they found it was wrong, they finally conceded it. They said, you know, I think you're right. I said, yep, I'm right. Something didn't matter in life. Amen. Just one of those little things. A know-it-all has to be right sometimes. Amen. Didn't matter a thing in life. But a fool would never admit it. A fool would take to the grave with it. A fool would die with it. It's not going to seek counsel. There's safety in a multitude of counselors. You know, the problem is people are going to Ahithophel's for counsel. They're going to Absalom for counsel. They're not going to God's people for counsel.
That's right.
But there's safety in a multitude of counselors. You can go to your pastor before you go anywhere else for counsel. Let me say that again. I know your way is better than my way, but I'm just telling you what God's way is. God gave you a pastor to rule over you before you go sniveling off to mom, to dad, to grandpa, to grandma, to granny, to aunt, and uncle. You need spiritual counsel, you go to your pastor. Amen. Better get spiritual counsel. Problem is always best.
Right.
You'd be ashamed. If there's a better way to cook a steak and I missed out on it, I'd be devastated. All these years I've wasted hundreds of pounds of steak and it could have been better. The problem is my own conceit. I don't think it could be any better. How silly.
Right.
How foolish. It's a little running joke with my wife and I. She said one day, she made a mistake going, honey, you always like your food. She's never lived it down. Never. She can make 9 things in a meal. I'll make the green beans, that's all she hears about the whole meal. Oh, honey, these green beans are wonderful. Woo, glory. I mean, honey, is this the best? No, maybe. Is this the best you ever had? She just rolls her eyes again. She should have never said anything to me. What about spiritually?
Right.
Do you think your life's the best it could be? Do you think your life could be a little bit better? Do you think your life, do you think there's anything you can add to your life that would put wisdom in your life that would help your family be better? Or is your way going to destroy you? Now listen, I'm a preacher, but I'm up for marriage advice. I'm up for family advice. I'm even open for personal advice. I asked a preacher last year what he thought about a situation, and he wrote back and let me have it. You can ask my wife, I was sitting, I had to spit out the bones, but I took the meat off the bones and choked them down and said, you know what, there's some things he said in that bitterness that was right. I had to make some changes. I'm talking about make some serious changes to my ministry. You know what God's done? He's multiplied, succeeded. I had never seen. I was too blind to see. But a man hurt me to help. And faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Say it again.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
Right.
You may not like the counsel you get. If you'll heed it, it'll help you. You know why most of you probably won't go to your pastor, the evangelist, for counsel? Because you know what they're going to say already. So you go to people that will pat you on the head and tell you how good you are. Tell you everything's okay. Because most times we already know what they're going to say. My wife and I go to marriage counseling. But if we told the truth about each other, we already know what they're going to say. You're both wrong. You're both selfish jerks. That's my uneducated response. Couldn't even better word. I'll tell you, I'm not honest. I'm telling you the truth now. My wife and I go to a marriage counselor with any problem we've had over the last 6 years. Anybody that had any gall at all, any kind of strength at all, then look us in the eyes, ball, and say, you all are just some jerks to each other. You all are just selfish. Why are you on the outs with God? Why are you distant from God? Why are you separated from God? Because of foolish actions, foolish things in life. Right. Acting like a fool, living like a fool, walking like a fool, refusing to receive knowledge and instruction.
Right.
There is no other reason why. Fools hate knowledge. I don't want to know about me. I don't want to know the truth about me. So I'll just keep living the way I'm living. Lest my folly be exposed. Well, I got good news for you. It's already been exposed. God knows what it is.
Right.
You just spend all your time trying to hide it from people. But it's not us you have to worry about. I don't have to worry about what you think about my life. I have to worry what God thinks about my life.
Yes, sir.
I have to worry about what you think about my family. I tell you what God thinks about my family. You all see us 2-3 weeks out of the year. We could fool you easily for 2-3 weeks.
Sure.
We could be con men, swindlers, hustlers, liars. We could use our ministry to drive around the country and sell crack, and you wouldn't have a clue.
That's right.
That is what God thinks. Imagine across the aisle at church, worried about what somebody across the church thinks about you. And the next week they're in prison. Boy, you'd feel kind of silly, wouldn't you? Hmm. go and stand before the great white throne of God. Looking across the crowd and seeing people that you worried about what they thought about you, and they're in the same mess you're in. And they're going to the same hell you're going to. And they're going to the same wrath you're going to. And you spent your life worried about what they thought. That's exactly what a fool does. His way is right. His way is better. But the ends are on the ways of death. I know it's been heavy. But I believe it's been right. It's just will you receive it? Will you take it? Mm-hmm.